Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus no matter what you're going through today. You know, we take a lot of chances on things to make our lives better, right? To make more money, to raise our profile, to make us happier in some way. Maybe we've placed all of our hope in chance, you know? One day my ship will come in. We like to say God has a plan for my life, but does he ever leave his plan to chance? Today, my good friend Can will ask the question, what's the difference between chance and real change in our lives?
Good morning, Orchard.
Good morning.
Hey, great. Thanks for that great response. That was awesome. Hey, if you're visiting with us this morning, you're our guest. Thank you so much for being here. And for those of you that are joining with us online this morning, it's great to almost see you, and we look forward to seeing you in the very near future. But until then, what an awesome time that we have and a great opportunity that we have to come together as believers to worship our God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jeff, praise band, thank you so much. Sound, lighting. It's just awesome when you see all that come together to bring glory and honor to our God. Amen. And Pastor C, boy, I'm so glad he's not sitting down here in the front row like he was in the first service. I mean, right here in the front row. Woo! But thank you, Pastor Steve, for the opportunity to be standing here and standing in for you, but in honor of our God and his church. Thank you. Thank you so much. So, you know, as Pastor Steve said earlier, you know, in our preparation, boy, we get carried away sometimes. Pastor Steve, all the time. And through that, you know, we start getting, we just are digging deeper in the Word, you know, and we're praying about asking God just to give us focus, direct us where you want us to go and where you want us to lead your people through Scripture. And man, I started, you know, I went from about a 30-minute presentation to about a 60-minute presentation to a 90-minute presentation. And then I said, okay, I got to start moving some things around, but I'm just going to move them off to the side. But I'm going to have to let Pastor Steve know, because when I first walked in earlier this morning, he said, hey, you doing good? And of course I lied. Yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, absolutely. Are you ready? Oh, yeah. I lied again. Yeah, I'm ready. But I am ready. But I had to share with him just how the process, you know, over several weeks, you know, where God takes us. So this is part one. And in part one, chance or change? And it's amazing, you know, when you look at words and just a one single letter, the difference that that letter can make in a word. So when you see chance, the only difference is the C and the G. So really what I wanted you to see this morning was to be able to say, oh, gee, I see. Huh. Only two differences. But again, I want to say thank you to Annie. You know, I was able to just push all everything that I wanted her to put into this presentation this morning, and she did a great job. And I was really surprised how this came out, because for me as a believer, when I look at this word chance, it almost looks sketchy, doesn't it? But do you see how clear the word change is? Because when I'm looking at that, I don't see anything in that represents God. I don't see him anywhere in there. And I'm talking about what I am learning, what I am reading, what I'm teaching myself, what I'm seeing in Scripture. But I'm seeing this. And that G for me represents God, because he is all about change. And I just find the absence of him anywhere in the word chance. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. And I'm just asking you to have an open heart and an open mind, because what we're looking at, we are looking at Scripture. We're looking at what God's word says, not what man or woman say. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, we're going to be on about a 30,000 foot level this morning. Later, probably next year, after the first of the year, we'll dive deeper into it and really start pulling out some awesome stuff. I have to make sure that this doesn't fall asleep. When it does, I have an iris scanner, so I have to make sure I look back at my laptop so it comes back up. But I have three questions that I want to ask that will kind of set the stage for your thought process and your heart. And here's the first question. Am I living my life by chance, or am I living my life because of change? Am I living my life by chance, or am I living my life because of change? And the second one is my faith by chance, or has my faith made the change in me? And the third question, has chance ever done anything for me? Our English language is a very interesting language, and at times, it's somewhat confusing. So I always like to throw in some did you knows in my presentation. You know, so I want to throw in a couple of did you knows this morning, just for example. So did you know that a fat chance and a slim chance are the same thing? Imagine that. It's amazing, isn't it? And did you know that you have a better chance of dying on your way to buy a lottery ticket than you do have on winning? Yeah, think about that one. Monday. So as we're thinking about chance and some of the things that you and I experience in our life and how that word chance is used, I want you to see another example, and this might be familiar to some of you, for others it might be new, but I just wanted you to get the feel of where some people take the word chance. So watch this clip.
What do you think of chance?
Well, it's difficult to say. You really don't
hit me with it. Just give it to me straight. I came a long way just to see you married. Just least you can do is level with me. What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
You see where I'm coming from? I don't care how many times I watch that video clip, it just gets dumb and dumber every time. You know? And oh my goodness. You know, and there we're thinking about that word chance. So what I did is, because we're looking at our English language, because that's what we use, I went back and I pulled the definition out from our English language dictionary. And it broke it down into three areas, a noun, a verb, and an adjective. And I thought, wow, okay, that's pretty interesting. So I wanted to share that with you this morning so that you can see how our English language defines the word chance. So look at this with me. Chance, and here's two examples. Number one, a possibility of something happening. I don't know about you, but that's not anything that I want to place my faith and trust in. Number two, the occurrence and development of events in the absence of any obvious design. Isn't that interesting? Do you see God anywhere in here? Let's look at how they defined a verb. Number one, do something by accident, without design. Number two, do something despite it being dangerous or of uncertain outcome. Why would I want to do anything like that? And let's look at the third example as it comes to us in an adjective. And there's two examples. The first one, fortuitous, accidental. Two, just a word a cipher, a symbol used to describe mathematical possibilities which have no influence or value. It's a non-entity. Are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing? A total absence of God. And why would we ever want to live any part of our life by chance? Did you know, I had to throw one more in, okay? So did you know that the idea of chance was totally foreign to the Hebrews? Throughout the entire course of Israel's history, to the Hebrew mind, law. Law ruled the universe. And the law wasn't just something that was just blindly accepted. It was the personal expression of Yahweh, God Himself. That was important, and that was huge to them. And what's really neat is Matthew reminds us in Scripture that God, our Heavenly Father, who placed our lives in order, knows and loves us infinitely. Wow. My mind went in 1,000 directions when I heard that word infinitely. Now, if you're here this morning, your parents, grandparents, and I told Steve and Sherry that's something they'll look forward to seeing and experiencing in the near future. But I was walking around the corner in my daughter's house, came into the family room, and all of a sudden my two grandsons were standing on top of the couch. On top, okay? And it's out in the family room. And so they're standing there, and I go, hey, guys, what's going on? And they said, to infinity and beyond. And, okay, so some of you are familiar with that, right? So who's that about? Buzz Lightyear, right? And so, you know, I said, guys, I said, there's only one person that can take us to infinity and beyond. Who is it? And they said, God, Poppy. And they call me Poppy. And I said, hey, that's right. And then all of a sudden, they both at the same time, they leaped off the top of the couch. So what do you think happened? Oh, let me tell you, because of the force of them both pushing off, diving, how far do you think they went? Not far, because the couch goes back, and they both face planted on the edge of the couch, right? So now they face plant, they flip upside down, they land on the ottoman, they bounce from the ottoman, and they both land on their head in the family room. And they stop and they look up at me and they go, whoa. All right, so hey, I'm Poppy. I'm going to say, hey, are you guys okay? Yes, Poppy. I said, that wasn't a good choice, was it? No, Poppy, it wasn't. I said, okay, let's make sure that we don't do that again, okay? Yes, Poppy. Do you think that happened by chance? Absolutely not. Chance can't do anything. It can't do a thing. And that's where we need to be reminded in our life, especially in some of the decisions that we make. It's not by chance. It's by choice. But the question is, are we allowing it to be the change in our life? Matthew even reminds us that God said, even the hairs on our head are numbered. And he even said that he clothes the fields of the grass. He clothes all the fields with the flowers. And I believe he did the same thing here in North Georgia in the mountains. He made them so beautiful for us to enjoy. And he also did something else that's very, very important for us. He told us that he would take care of us. When I hear that and when I read that in Scripture, for me, that leaves nothing to chance. Absolutely nothing. And there's one thing that we need to be reminded of as believers, that there's not one of us, no one of us, has any unique circumstances that sets us apart from anyone else. And we need to be very careful that we do not try to manipulate the gospel to fit our own personal preference, are our own personal experience or our cultures. Paul shares with us in a verse that we're going to read here in just a moment, but to kind of set the stage, Paul, in Ephesians, Paul is teaching and preaching and has been in Ephesus. It's an incredible world center at this point in this time in life because they have the ports, they have all different types of people and cultures that are coming in, and Paul's been there teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ. And there are people that are coming to Christ. There are lives that are being changed. And it's an incredible thing. And as he's teaching them, he shares this verse to continue pushing them so that they have an understanding of what's taking place and what God is doing. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, this is what Paul tells us. Furthermore, he's continuing now, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you. And that brings us to our very first fill in the blank this morning. Can anybody guess that first word? That's right. Chance cannot do anything because chance isn't anything. Chance cannot do anything because chance isn't anything. So as we continue to look at our English language this morning, we took a look at chance. Now we're going to take a look at change. And so we're going to look at, in our definition of change in our English language, they broke it down into two areas. They broke it down into a verb and a noun. So let's take a look at that here. So here's change as a verb. What's a verb?
Action.
Action word, right? Awesome. So here, there's one. One. Make someone or something different. Alter. Modify. Convert. Transform. Adapt. Rebuild. Reconstruct. Remake. Make over. Has that happened to you?
Yes.
Has anyone here experienced any of this? Well, praise God for that, because that's change, and that's action. And when I see this, I see God. I see God. Let's look at how our language defines it as a noun. And we have three areas here. Number one, the act or instance of making or becoming different. Were you and I called to be different?
Yes.
Well, some of us. All right, yeah, right. All right. Were those of you back there called to be different? Okay, great. Thank you. That's awesome. Number two, an alteration or modification. Has God altered you or modified you in any way over the... Since yesterday? Yeah. And number three, a new or refreshing different experience. Wow, that's what change is all about, a new and different experience. Our life as a believer is a life of change. You agree with me?
Yeah.
All right, don't be afraid to respond, okay? It's a two-way street here this morning, because I could hear the people that were online listening just then. They were loud, man. You could hear them yelling. But what's really awesome is each step that we take, each day we live, each season of our life, as we walk with God, will continually change. Right?
Amen.
It has to. He said it would. It's going to. Whether you like it or I like it or not, it's going to change. Here's what's awesome about it. When God saved you, when you became born again, when you came to an understanding that he chose you, all of those exciting things that are taking place in our life, there was something that changed. God changed you. At that very moment, you were never the same. When you were saved, God changed you. And at that very moment, you and I, we no longer walked aimlessly on this earth. We had a purpose. Why? Because God's grace gave us light. His grace gives us freedom. Freedom from the law of sin and the law of death. His grace gives us freedom from bondage, from addiction, from confusion and doubt. Amen. And he's doing all of this while transforming us into his image through Christ. Amen. And we Paul again gives us a great confirmation that I wanted to share with you. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. And this is what Paul says. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Now we just saw. So all of us. Does that mean everybody? Almost, right? So what Paul is saying here in Scripture, so all of us, he's talking to a specific group of people, right? And he's talking to those who are saved, to those that have been chosen, to you and I. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And that brings us to our next fill in the blank. My life is a life of transformation and change. My life is a life of transformation and change. Can you honestly say that you like change? Right? Maybe you don't do change very well, right? And maybe some prefer not to change. Or you may have heard someone say, oh, I will not change. They might change. Why change? Why change? Do I need to change? Have you ever had anybody ask you that? Do I need to change? What you're going to answer going to be to them, right? Woo! But it's something when we start thinking about all these ways, all these changes that you and I are being called to make as we walk with Christ through our life. You know, and it's not, I'm not talking about changing our clothes, okay? Because that gets into a whole different area, right? Especially for men, right? And I don't even know why I'm sharing this with you, but men... They can wear the same clothes 2 to 4 days. That's the average, what you hear, right? Yeah, 2 to 4. Hey, you sit behind a desk, I could wear these pants all week long. I'm not getting them dirty, right? Same with my shirt. You know, I might make a change with my undergarments, but now I'm fine, you know? You know, and it's not like socks. Socks are totally different. We won't go there. But I mean, as far as women, men, we could go a whole week and change 4 times, or 4 days, and only change once. And of course, our wives and women, they're going to do that in the course of a day. So we won't even go there. That's just a whole nother area. But then there's something else, you know, that we constantly change is our mind. I was reading some conversations on if someone would even consider trying to figure out how many times during the course of the day we change our mind. And one of the responses that I read had one word, and it was stealth. Stealth mode, right? So if you could ever, they didn't even want to try to guess, because if we could even imagine the amount of times during the course of the day we change our mind. God's will for you and God's will for me is progressive by nature. And what I mean by that is we must constantly adapt to the changes in our lives where God is leading us. We need to make sure that we're engaged, not just hanging out, not just living our life, waiting for something to happen, but we need to be focused and engaged on where God is leading us, where he's directing us. And what's really exciting about that is if we're not engaged, if we're not willing to make those changes where God is leading us, how would we ever expect to be a part of God's plan in being used to make a change in the life of someone else. And that's who we are as believers, as followers of Christ. Our life should be and will always be a life of change. There's two things that we're going to look at right now. And of course, when we meet again in part two in the near future, we're going to dig deeper. But right now, I want to kind of just go over lightly on these two things that I want to share with you. And these two things are this. When we're looking at our life of change, two things. The motivation to change and the desire to change. But I had to put that in there, okay? It's not a big but. It's just a regular size but. So I didn't highlight it. Didn't want to bring too much attention to it. But I did want to make reference to it. But when we're looking at our life of change and our walk with God and how He is constantly changing us into and conforming us into His image, the motivation to change and the desire to change is where we kind of hit heads. Now, when we're looking at our lives, a lot of times we can tie motivation and desire into the same area. They work together. But the desire to change is we're not quite sure how to navigate through that change. We struggle in those areas. Is it normal? Most of the time, you know. It might be a habit pattern that we have, right? We have good habits. We have bad habits. And they're so ingrained into us, we at times don't know how to overcome them. And sometimes you may even find a brother or sister in Christ that may use the excuse that, well, you know, I'm struggling, you know, and the enemy just keeps throwing grenades in my path and dropping bombs on me, and I just can't work around them. But the one thing that we need to encourage each other as well as ourselves is that thankfully, there's an answer. I'm not going to dig deep into the weeds on this, but thankfully, there's an answer that we all need to be reminded of. And that's God's plan for each one of us, is to be overcomers in all that we do. And a great example of that, and I'm not, I didn't have Larry put it up on the screen, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and John just is giving us a beautiful example, and the words that the Holy Spirit gave to him when he wrote them down was, "Dear children." So he's talking again to a specific group of people, and those are ones that are saved. Those are the ones that have been chosen. Those are the ones that are born again. He's speaking to them, to you, to me this morning, and he was telling them, "Dear children, you need to remember that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." We need to be reminded of that, because we need to be careful that we're never giving praise and giving victory somewhere where it's not deserved. I had a professor in my New Testament class at Grace Bible College, and that was just a few years ago, 1976. And in that, he had shared with us at that time. He said, "I want to give you something to take with you this year." And I said, "I'm going to write it down. Right? I'm in college. I got to write this down now." And I just happened to have 3x5 cards inside my. I carried a briefcase. Can you imagine that? Did you have one too? But I wrote down, and he said, "I want to give this to you. You take it with you. Never surrender the control of your life to a negative thought, a negative emotion, or a negative person." And wow, I wrote that down, and I still have that 3x5 card. I have it at home, and I look at it every once in a while. And what a great reminder is, because I never want to find myself giving any victory to the evil one. Not for any reason. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I want to stand on that. And I invite you to never surrender the control of your life to a negative thought, a negative emotion or a negative person. And as we continue to walk through our life, there's one thing that we continue to experience, and that's that it includes you and I going from glory to glory, experiencing the change that God desires in our life. And what I mean by moving from glory to glory in our life, it means that we're continually being changed in what we were created to be. And that's to be created to be conformed into the likeness of God. That's what God is doing to you and I. As we continue to walk through, I wanted to share some scripture because I believe that there is nothing that can speak to us more and even better than directly by reading scripture and letting God speak to us from that. So I have some passages that I'd like to read through this morning. It's going to be Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 12, and then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But I just want to go ahead and I'm going to read through those, so I invite you to follow along with me. Hebrews chapter 10, 35 through 39. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who will turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Work at living in peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Wow. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. And that brings us to our next fill in the blank, which is my active response to God involves constant change. My active response to God involves constant change. I put my water in my back pocket so I wouldn't forget it. And I found that if I could put a bottle of water in my back pocket, that's a good thing. So I'm going to put it back there so I don't forget it. Again, our desire to change pleases God. To lead a life worthy of our calling pleases God. To always be humble and gentle pleases God. To be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of our love, pleases God. These are attitudes that God has given to us to use for His honor and glory. Why? Because it pleases Him. These attitudes, when we submit to God, the ever-changing process that God Himself ordained for each one of us in our lives is to be transformed into His image. And that is a constant change that you and I need to be engaged in. Have a desire to change as God directs us, helps us maintain His joy and peace in our lives. That's huge. Are you living a life today that's just filled with joy and peace? God gave you and I some promises, and I'd like to share some of those promises. These are just a few this morning. But as we look at change, and we look at change as an act of obedience, that act of obedience only takes place when we respond to God. And I want to show you some of these. We're just going to look at these together this morning. And these are just a few promises that God has given to you that we experience because of change. Joy versus grief. Peace versus trouble. Hope versus fear. Happiness versus misery. Love versus hatred. And forgiveness versus resentment. Wow, if you look at just the left side here, that looks like gold to me. I see God all over that. And these are just a few of the incredible promises that He's given to you and I. When I look at the other side, I see nothing but sin. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, this is exactly what He took to the cross for you, for me. And because of it, you and I have an incredible opportunity to live that life of change. From the very moment that God saved you, the very moment that He saved me, we were changed. Do you still find yourself there today? Are you changing? Are you allowing yourself to change? Are you allowing God to change you through that process? The last fill in the blank on your page is, my life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. My life does not get better by chance. It gets better by change. Each one of us, we have the capacity within ourselves to change. As a believer, our obedience to God is the key that helps motivate us and gives us a continued desire to change. And through that process, we want to make sure and be very careful that we don't try to change God's plan, but we let His plan change us. And if you were to ask me, Ken, don't you think that there could possibly be another way? My answer to you will always be the same. No chance.